My goodness, my fellow superhero deep divers, it is a new episode of Superhero Deep Dive, and I am so glad you joined me. As always, I am your host, Jason. I have a great show scheduled for today. I have an announcement to make, which hopefully will work out great. I don't see any problems with it, and yeah, we'll get into it. Let me get my disclaimers out of the way, because I'm really excited about this. So, the information is pulled from different sources across the internet and may or may not be completely complete, but they do give you a really good insight on the current superhero. Okay, if you ever want to reach out to me, you can find me every Tuesday and Thursday throughout the day on Outworld Fleet Radio. Their website is www.un-conventional.com/radio. You can catch me on Twitter or Instagram under Super Deep Dive. I try to use the hashtag Superhero Deep Dive. And you can catch me on YouTube, which is the best place to catch me because I, because I talk to everyone all the time. I do post every day. It's under Superhero Deep Dive on YouTube. Like I said, there are superhero memes posted every day. There are animal videos posted almost every day. And, you know, sometimes the weekends are busy. I post podcasts there. I have conversations with people. It's great. Please comment, like, subscribe, share it, help me grow the channel. As of the time of this taping, I'm at like 950 subscribers. So I'm so close to that 1,000 mark. Help me cross it. Excuse me. Help me cross it and I'll do a giveaway. Okay, let's see here. Should I do the announcement? Yeah, let me do the announcement. Okay, so a week ago, or a week and a half ago, I was at Vet City Con in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Had a blast, met a lot of people. Even had some people that were fans of the podcast. So thank you. One of the people I met was the creator of Hard Justice, which is a Kickstarter campaign. He's awesome. He's got a comic book that he's making. It's called When Criminals Rise Up to Take Control of the City, two street level dudes, Saint and Rex, decide to take matters into their own hands. The hard way. This is exciting looking. It kind of has the artwork reminds me of Scott Pilgrim versus the World, but the storyline kind of like Double Dragon, you know, like the old school Double Dragon. I'm really excited about it. I have backed the Kickstarter. I recommend you guys all do too. Their website is www.hardjusticecomic.com, and the information will be there. But I mean, you can join the Kickstarter for as low as $5. And be a part of this, and it's awesome. Okay, let me cough real quick, and then I'll get into the show. Excuse me, sorry about that. I've gotten over the cold, but when I talk a lot, like for a podcast, the cough comes back because it doesn't like me talking. It just wants me to shut up. Well, anyways, this week I am talking about Jessie Chambers. She's in the DC universe. You may know her as Jessie Quick. You may know her as Liberty Bell. If you know her as both, that's great because she has been both. And she's awesome. She's really awesome. And I have a really kind of cool idea for her. So, her name is Jessie Chambers. Because she's gone by multiple identities and they've both been successful, I'm just keeping it with Jessie Chambers. In hopes of creating a successor, Johnny Quick, who is an old school speedster, taught the formula that gave him his enhanced speed to his daughter Jessie. The formula worked on Jessie as well as she gained super speed, but however, rather than becoming a costume crime fighter as her father had intended, Jessie instead opted to continue her education as her mother requested. So this is important. She had the powers, but she decided to kind of like, instead of just jumping into being a hero, she wanted to get her education first, which is kind of cool. Excuse me. Now, while Jessie was studying at Gotham University, because that's where everyone goes, the superhero team her parents had been colleagues with, the Justice Society of America, reemerged following a long absence. Naturally, her thesis topic became the impact of superheroes on society, and she began to follow the returned heroes, cataloging their adventures. When her father asked her to deliver some documents to the society, the encounter would result in her aiding the team as Jessie Quick, finally living up to her father's dream of her being a costume crime fighter. It was during that time that she met Wally West, who was the Flash at the time. who would later ask her to be his replacement if something were to happen to him. This was all an elaborate plan on his part, trying to force Bart Allen, who was Impulse, to take his role in the legacy of the Flash more seriously and be Wally's successor. Excuse me. So basically, he was trying to show favoritism to someone else so the other person would, like, to Impulse's faster than Jesse Quick would be. So he's trying to get him to be, like, jealous, kind of like the jealous girlfriend thing, you know, like, if I want a girl to be interested in me, I'm going to talk to someone else. It didn't work for me because there weren't a lot of girls interested in me. But that's not to say it didn't work for them. Anyways. Oh, although she felt betrayed, she would end up saving Wally's life, though her leg was hurt in the process. When Wally returned from the mythical Speed Force, he healed her leg. And the earlier deception was largely forgiven, but not forgotten. When shortly after Jessie lost her enhanced speed, the person she blamed was Wally, who had been directly using the Speed Force energies instead of simply tapping them like the other speedsters did. In fact, it turned out to be the villain Savitar who was the cause, having severed her connection to the Speed Force, as well as multiple other speedsters. Nonetheless, Wally chose the depowered Jessie to accompany him to Savitar's lair, where she succeeded in regaining her powers. During the following battle with Savitar, her father gave his life to protect his daughter from one of Savitar's forces and merged with the Speed Force. Although Wally would ultimately triumph over the villain, Jessie was left to mourn her father. Okay, so Jessie then accepted the reins of managing her father's corporation, Quick Start Enterprises, while also operating as Jessie Quick, even joining the members of the Titans to stop a nuclear threat. When the Titans were later going through a reorganization, Wally, a founding member, selected Jessie to join the roster, hoping to soothe their old wounds. After initially declining the offer, she ultimately joined the Titans, but was only on the team for a short time, feeling herself to be second best to Wally. I like this. I like the fact that they were kind of like building a little animosity between Wally West and Jessie Chambers, because Wally West is faster. He's more powerful than Jessie Chambers as far as that goes. So she would kind of be a second best. But he also manipulated her into getting what he wanted out of Impulse. So, you know, even though she's trying to let it go, there's still that distrust. There's still a little rough spot. And I like the fact that they just keep kind of expanding on it, because that's important in a relationship, right? Like, it shows a dynamic. And that's what they're doing here. So Nightwing, another founding member, persuaded Jessie to return to the Titans. Later, Jessie became involved in a murder mystery involving her own widowed mother, Libby Lawrence, who was the original Liberty Bell. The victim was Philip Geyer, Libby's fiancé. An investigation by the Titans revealed not only the killer, but also an ongoing affair between Philip and Jessie, which had contributed to his death. Wait, what? So Jessie Chambers was cheating on, or was having an affair with her mom's fiance? Ew. I liked you up until then. All right. Although Jessie attempted to reconcile with her mother, the saddened Libby found it hard to forgive her daughter. Although she apparently did. As in later appearances, the two returned to their friendly relationship. Okay. The Titans were disbanded not long afterwards, as two of the team's members were killed in an attack by a rogue Superman robot in the limited series Titans Young Justice Graduation Day. They might need to retcon that part. Sorry, Mom, I slept with your boyfriend. That's... ew. Ew! Anyways, following that disbanding of the team, Jessie threw herself back into her responsibilities at Quick Start Enterprises, finding little time for her social life. When Wally would later need assistance to defeat the villain Zoom, who was capable of moving at speed surpassing any of the Earth's other speedsters, Jessie lent a portion of her special abilities to Wally, temporarily boosting Wally's speed so that he was moving almost faster than light and allowing him to defeat Zoom. but leaving her powerless and unable to remember the formula to access her powers. Dang it, Wally. Like, you're ruining everything, man. Although Wally knew the formula, she told him not to remind her, reminding him that he had earlier told her that she needed to slow down anyway. After that, she worked as business manager for a newly reformed Justice Society of America. The JSA successfully rescued her mother, who had returned to her role as Liberty Bell, but whose powers had gone out of control. In that same adventure, mother and daughter reconciled. Okay, so hopefully that was the retcon, because that's a lot. Anyway, Jesse had become a member of the Justice Society, carrying on her mother's legacy as the new Liberty Bell. She is now married to second fellow generation hero Rick Tyler, also known as Our Man. After hearing the news of Bart Allen's death, she, along with Jay Garrick, mourned his demise. Her reaction to Wally West's return from the Speed Force is yet unknown. Excuse me. In an encounter with Zoom, it is revealed that Jesse has retained her speed powers by repeating her father's formula. This adds to her super strength, which means she inherited both her parents' powers. In the same encounter, she talks to the hero Damage, and she talks him out of murdering Zoom. In the Flash Rebirth miniseries, an explosion suddenly occurs in front of the pair. Jesse is shocked to see her father Johnny Quick is alive in the Speed Force as he materializes and begs Barry Allen not to hurt Jesse before vanishing, but he then dies later by Professor Zoom's actions. Our Man is tending to Jesse because since seeing her father, she's begun repeating her father's speed formula over and over. Jesse, now crackling with Speed Force energy, stops repeating the speed formula. She reveals that she has finally solved the equation. Jesse Quick, Mac Mercury, Jay Garrick, Wally West, Bart Allen, Barry Allen, the Speed Force. So I guess that's what it all meant. I don't know. I have the formula down, so we'll go over that. Now, when his twins, Iris and Jay, are struck with crippling pain thanks to Professor Zoom, Iris takes Jay's connection to the Speed Force and nearly kills herself doing so. Jesse arrives and recites the now revealed speed mantra to revive Iris, telling Jay and Linda West that Iris is the next generation of speedsters. The two join the battle between the revealed Professor Zoom and the combined forces of the three Flashes, which is Jay, Wally, and Barry, Max Mercury, and Flash, and Kid Flash. With the speedsters reunited, Wally uses a trick with the Speed Force, revitalizing the speedsters and transforming his, Jesse's, and Iris's outfit. Jesse dons a uniform pattern after her father's. Okay, now she returns to her Liberty Bell outfit for a few adventures leading up to the Blackest Night event, but switches to her Jesse Quick identity and costume when she is attacked by the reanimated corpse of her father. Liberty Bell is found by her father, Johnny Quick, who claims that Jesse's love for him was the reason he came back. Jesse says that she has a uniform like his and quickly changes into it by reciting the mathematical formula that her father originally used and calls herself Jesse Quick. The two speedsters then run off. While she is running across the globe with her father trying to enjoy the time she's spending with him, she thinks she should rather be with her husband, the modern day Our Man. Jesse continues to run with her father, remembering her childhood memories of when they used to jog together around their neighborhood and Johnny would let her win. Feeling thankful that she was able to enjoy only a few moments with him again. Now later, Black Lantern Johnny Quick is destroyed by Mr. Terrific's machine that turned off the Black Lantern's connection to their rings. Excuse me. When the JSA splits into two teams, Jesse remains with the JSA while her husband Rick went to the JSA All-Stars. However, Rick and Jesse remain happily married, although her teammates and the public at large believe otherwise, forcing Rick to explain their condition as a working couple working in different offices. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, right? Sure, why not? At WonderCon, writer James Robinson announced that Jesse would be joining the Justice League of America as part of DC's Brightest Day event. This development occurred at the conclusion of the JLA-JSA crossover, The Dark Things, when Batman asking Jesse to join the JLA to fill their old friend Wally West's role as the team speedster. Man, I really hate that she keeps getting compared to Wally West. Because, granted, their powers are similar, she's such a different person. But whatever, right? I mean, I think this is just that friction they keep building. And I like the fact they keep building it, I just hate the fact that it keeps happening. Alright, now during her tenure with the JLA, Jessie gradually begins to lose her speed abilities, and it is eventually revealed that this is due to her becoming pregnant. The League disbands shortly after this, and Jessie leaves to be with Rick. Jessie later gives birth during the Convergence miniseries. After the Flashpoint, when Barry resets the timeline, Jessie is among those erased by Dr. Manhattan's machinations. However, it is later revealed that she is trapped in the Speed Force in an area called the Starting Line with Max Mercury. In the Watchmen sequel, Doomsday Clock, Jessie, in her Liberty Bell outfit, is seen with the Justice Society when Dr. Manhattan undoes the experiment that erased the JSA and the Legion of Superheroes. This was later revealed as a failed attempt by Manhattan to repair the timeline. After his body was possessed by Thawne, Barry finally meets Jesse and Max. Initially, his guilt warps his perception, seeing them as nightmarish monsters. Once he regains control of his body, Barry frees Jesse and Max from the Speed Force to finally be reunited with the Flash family. Jesse then helps defeat the Legion of Zoom thereafter. There was a Legion of Zoom? Are you serious? If any of you guys have pictures or any information on the Legion of Zoom, let me know in the comments. Please let me know in the comments, because that's insane. That's awesome. I want a Legion of Zoom in my pants. Sorry. I don't really. That was just a joke. Anyways. Bad joke, but it's a joke nonetheless. Alright, anyways, Jesse later reunites with the Flash family to search for a missing Barry Allen, jumping into a portal that transports herself and Max into a post-apocalyptic wasteland. There they meet an alternate Barry, the fastest driver in his universe. Now, it looks like that's all I have as far as the history goes. But what do you guys think? Like, she's pretty dynamic. She didn't go right into heroing, even though both her parents were superheroes. I mean, you're looking at Johnny Quick and Liberty Bell. So she goes, she figures out the speed formula. She gets a college education. She's running a company. She is doing a lot of things. If you guys hear that, my beagle has found something in the backyard and he is just going crazy. And I'm sorry, but I'm not going to stop. Anyways. Like, her history is pretty insane. But let me get into her powers. But like I did say, if any of you guys have any information on the Legion of Zoom, let me know in the comments. Best thing to do is go to Superhero Deep Dive on YouTube and let me know in the comments there, because everything gets acknowledged. And that's kind of crazy. Anyways, her powers. Just like her father, Jessie has powers of flight and accelerated speed, resulting from the state of mind achieved from the visualization of the speed formula. Okay, this is the speed formula. 3x2, 9yx4a. So let's see here. Okay, finally solved the equation. Jesse Quick, Max Mercury, Jay Garrick, Wally West, Bart Allen, Barry Allen, the Speed Force. Okay, how many A's are there? We have Allen, Barry Allen, Bart Allen. I only see two A's. So I don't know who the YZ are. Who are the 9YZ? And who's the 3X2? Or is that 3X squared? I don't know. Would the 3X squared be Barry and Bart Allen? I don't know. It doesn't make sense. But anyways. Her powers are linked to the Speed Force. She also has her mother's super strength, enabling her to lift great weights, such as a car, with ease. As with her mother, the mechanism of her super strength remains unexplained, which irritated her father because they couldn't explain it. Like, they just couldn't figure it out. It was just there. She attributes her powers to a mantra like the formula used by her father to unlock his being. She also has superhuman stamina, reaction reflexes, and superhuman agility. She heals much faster than a normal human, thus having super healing. Okay. One of the things about the super healing that I like is that there are catches to it. Like, I want to say this was with Bart Allen. And I could be wrong. If it was one of the other speedsters, let me know. But Deathstroke, like, shot him in the knee. And what happened was he's got the super healing, so his knee would start to heal. But if it wasn't set properly, it would still heal. It just wouldn't heal properly. I like that little catch. I love that catch in it, that these speedsters can heal, but they don't always do it right. So if, like, the knee isn't set, if the leg isn't set just right, you have to keep breaking it. Like, and that's what they had to do. His leg was healing faster than they could set it, so they had to keep breaking it over and over again to get it to set properly to heal. So Impulse went through, like, 5-6 knee breaks, which I can't imagine that pain, you know, before it actually set in correctly. That's important. Like, that's a catch to their powers that I love and that I want to exploit later on. But what do you guys think of her powers? You know, she's like every other speedster, basically, except she has super strength as well. But let me know in the comments. Like I said, you can catch me on Twitter or Instagram under Super Deep Dive. I use the hashtag Superhero Deep Dive. You can catch me on YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive, where I do post every day. And if you ever want to email me, you can email me. I don't think I mentioned it at the beginning. I'm sorry, but I should have. It's b4itall@yahoo.com. I do get emails frequently, so I am all about that. But let me get into fun facts. Now, the fun facts. A teenage version of Jesse Chambers appears in the anime-inspired anime comic, or Amikomi universe, as its version of the Flash. On Earth 11, an adult Jesse Quick becomes the Flash, a member of the Justice Guild, and aunt mentor of Jesse Chambers' Kid Quick. Or Jess Chambers' Kid Quick, I'm sorry. So she has a nephew. Jesse Quick also appears in The Flash, portrayed by Violet Bean. Introduced in the second season, this version, also known as Jesse Chambers Wells, is a native of Earth 2 and a daughter of Harry Wells, who Zoom kidnapped to force him to steal Barry Allen's speed. Later in the season, Barry and his allies rescue Jesse, who enters a relationship with Wally West. God bless it. More of Wally West. Before she's exposed to dark matter energy and temporarily falls into a coma amidst the Team Flash's efforts to restore Barry's speed. After Barry uses the Speed Force to revive her and defeat Zoom, she and Harry return to Earth 2. As of the third season, Jessie has become a speedster amidst her father's hesitation over being a superhero. Eventually, he accepts her decision, gives her a supersuit, and allows her to return to Earth 1 to study under Barry. Do you think that she does what Samuel Jackson did in Incredibles, like, "Daddy, where's my super suit?" I don't know. I think it'd be fun to see that. Additionally, she protects Earth 3 for Jay Garrick after he gets trapped in the Speed Force. As of the fourth season, Jesse returned to Earth 2, where she recruited a team to help her combat the last of Zoom's forces and breaks up with Wally to focus on her work. Jesse Quick also makes a cameo appearance in The Flash's ending in Injustice 2. And a male Jesse Quick appears in issue number 52 of Teen Titans Go as an alternate alias of Robbie Reed. Woo! So she's been around. She hasn't really been featured in a lot of things, aside from the CW show, but, you know, does that count? It counts, I guess. It counts. And let me give you my final thoughts on this character, because she's pretty awesome. Now, I've always liked Jesse Chambers, mainly because she switched up personas and just basically did whatever she could to be a part of a team and fight the good fight. When I wanted to cover her, I immediately got an idea that just shouted in my head. So here we go. One of the things I thought of was to have her in a solo movie, but have it be placed in the 80s or early 90s, like something like that. Because her look pretty much goes along with it. But we don't need like a big origin for her. What we do need is an opening, kind of like how the Watchmen movie was, where it gives clips to the backgrounds of a lot of the superheroes beforehand. You know, I'm trying to think, like, you know, the Mothman, Dollar Bill. I can't remember all their names. I'm sorry. The original Silk Spectre. I can't remember their names off the top of my head. But those guys, like in the beginning where it gives that John Denver song, I believe. Stuff like that. But that's what I want. Only with their parents, like Johnny Quick and Liberty Bell. Let's show them fighting crime, training Jesse, and teaching her the speed equation during that intro, during like some kind of intro song. And with her, that's all we really need. You know, we can show just a quick 5-minute thing for her origin in that kind of space, and we'd get the gist of it. Now, from there, we can have her in what would be present day for the story, so like I said, like late 80s, early 90s, fighting crime and living life as a 20-something, maybe even into their early 30s. What I want is, I want to see scars on her, like, I'm trying to figure out how to say this without sounding creepy and pervy, because it's not meant to be that way. Like, I want to see, there's an Alex Ross picture of, like, illustration that he did of Batman, where Batman is taking off his shirt and you just see all these scars on his back. I want to see something like that with her, but I want to see it, with, like, something like maybe, something disjointed in her shoulder or something, you know? Like, maybe she got hit and it healed, but it didn't necessarily set correctly, so it didn't heal properly, but it still healed. You know, I just want there to be some kind of link to how battle-worn she can be. Excuse me. You know, and during the movie, we can throw reports of stuff going on around the world that would relate to, like, Superman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, whatever. Because there were reports of them in their other movies. So it doesn't necessarily have to link with the old DC universe, but there can be stuff to connect it going forward, you know? And the reason I say this is because this will set her in the new DC universe, but it doesn't have to have her directly involved with it. I'm not sure who she could face, but it could be any random villain. I was thinking of stuff back in the 80s and 90s. You know, we had the Live Aid. We had stuff going on, like Free Tibet, stuff going on in Africa. So what if we put her over there? Like, what if we put her somewhere in Africa? You know, like, who's that one gorilla? Not Gorilla Grodd, but Gorilla Grodd could work too. Like, Monsieur Mala or something? What if she was up against him? Like, it doesn't have to be a big, super powerful villain. Doesn't have to be super, like, one of the heavy hitters either. It can be someone that's almost a joke. But with Monsieur Mala, maybe he was doing something in Africa, leading some kind of rebel forces or something that was causing problems. Like, that was a big deal going on back then. So maybe she could help with that. You know, like, I don't know. But who are you casting for this? When I was thinking of it, I immediately thought of Taylor Swift, but I could be wrong. And if I'm wrong, that's fine too. We need someone that could be down to earth, athletic, but not overly glamorous, because that's not who Jesse Chambers ever was. She was always like the girl next door kind of type, and we need someone that can portray that as well. So who do you pick? Who would be the villain? Did you not like my idea for Monsieur Mala? I'm not completely sold on it either. I was just thinking of what was going on in the time and what villains might fit with something like that. To where it doesn't have to necessarily be a world domination kind of thing. She can just be helping the villages there, you know? Excuse me. But you know what would be cool? If Michelle Pfeiffer wasn't in Ant-Man, she would have been a perfect old-school Liberty Bell. And Jesse Chambers could have been the girl that played Selena Kyle in Gotham, only blonde. Because if you look at them, they look a lot alike. Like, they look like they could be related. And I think that they would look close enough to be mother and daughter, and the age gap would still work for the movie as well. So something like that could be a casting choice. I don't know her name. If you know her name, put it in the comments. Let me know. Tag her. Maybe she'll be like, yes, I want to do this. Reach out to James Gunn. I don't know. I think there's a lot of potential with this character because she's pretty cool. I mean, she's got the power set. She's got something that's just kind of outlandish enough to still work. And she's got the pedigree, you know, that where you don't need to. We don't need to have all of DC's heavy hitters. And James Gunn has proved that time and time again with when he did the Peacemaker series, when he did Suicide Squad, when he did Guardians of the Galaxy. We didn't need heavy hitters. You know, we need people that can be related to. And I think Jesse Chambers is one of those people. But what do you think? Let me know in the comments. Like I said, you can email me directly at b4itall@yahoo.com. You can catch me on Twitter or Instagram under Super Deep Dive. And you can catch me on YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive. Like I said, help me get to 1,000 subscribers. Like, subscribe, comment, share it with friends. All that good stuff. If you have requests for future episodes, let me know. If you have fun facts I may have missed, if you have other ideas, let me know and let's have a discussion about it because everything gets acknowledged. Also, don't forget to check out the Hard Justice Kickstarter campaign. It's www.hardjusticecomic.com. I actually plan on having a live Zoom call, which we will record. I don't know why I say a live Zoom call. A Zoom call, which we will record for the podcast and air that as an episode. I'm hoping by next week, but maybe the week after. Let's see. We'll figure it out. I'm gonna get on it. But in the meantime, guys, I hope everyone is blessed. I hope everyone is happy. I hope everyone is safe, and I hope everyone is smart. But if you're not smart, don't get caught. Everyone be good. I will see you later. Bye-bye.